It is the moment we have all been waiting for, or maybe dreading, depending on how you feel about presidential debates. But tonight, President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden are going to take the debate stage for the first time in Cleveland. Now, for the president, it is about shaking up the race.
Together, we are taking back our country. We are returning power to you, the American people.
While for Joe Biden, it's about staying focused on the task at hand.
What I'm not going to do is play the Trump game. I am focused on one thing right now, and I really mean it.
So let's talk about that. What are you watching for in tonight's debate? Are you watching tonight's debate? And what do you feel like is at stake for you? What do you think each candidate needs to do to have a successful performance, or as they might say, win? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. Joining us to take that look at what might happen tonight is WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Anthony, hello there.
Hey, Tiziana.
And Stephanie Murray, author of the Politico Massachusetts Playbook and co-host of the Horse Race podcast. Hey, Stephanie, welcome to you, too.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me.
So, Anthony, first debate between the two tonight. What are you looking for with Trump and Biden?
Well, like you said, we've been waiting for this for a long time. I mean, I think these two guys have two very different jobs. I mean, I think Trump has got to do something if he wants to rescue his campaign to sort of change the narrative. I mean, he's behind in national polls. He's behind in key swing state. He's behind in the money race. So this isn't a good moment for him. And with the nation focused on the pandemic and most Americans thinking that he's mismanaged the pandemic, he's got to find a way to somehow use this debate to change the narrative and get people to focus on something else. For Joe Biden, I think in a way it's clear what he has to do. He basically has to show the nation that he can be presidential, especially compared to Donald Trump. And I think Trump will try to rattle him. And I think Biden is going to try to stay focused on sort of the binary issues. Look, the Republicans want to do things like take away health care and overturn Roe v. Wade. We want to keep it. And that's what I think he's going to focus on. And if he does that.
Oh, I think we lost Anthony there for just a second. I'm sure the control room will try to get him back, Stephanie. But in the meantime, let me turn to you and say, okay, so what does success look like? At the end of the night, if Donald Trump has been successful, he's done X. And if Joe Biden is successful, he's done Y.
Just as Anthony said, I think tonight is a big chance for Donald Trump to turn things around. Like Anthony said, his review on the coronavirus response is not great. He's down in most of the metrics that we have, money, polling, and otherwise. So for him, what will be a win is kind of shaking things up and taking the attention off of all of these kind of negative stories that have broken about the president lately. I'm thinking about the New York Times investigation into his taxes and to shift the conversation to something else. And for Joe Biden, what's interesting here is that the Trump campaign and President Trump himself have kind of set the bar low for Biden. They've painted him as somebody who isn't totally mentally there and messes up when he's speaking a lot. They've kind of put this narrative out there that Biden wanted more breaks in the debate or that he looks at a teleprompter, things that his campaign has denied. So as long as Biden gets in there and has a debate where he doesn't really make too many mistakes and shows that he's fit to debate, it will be kind of a positive for him. So in that regard, I think President Trump has kind of made the debate a little bit more difficult for himself by setting the bar so low for Joe Biden.
Anthony Brooks, do we have you back?
I believe I'm back.
Welcome back, Anthony. So before I go to the calls, let me just ask you, you know, there is often sort of this sense going into a debate that somebody has the advantage. I think there might have been a time when we would have thought that was whoever was up in the polls. I don't know if that is still the case. Is there somebody who has a better advantage going into tonight? And does that or does that not line up with the polls?
I look at the polls and I sort of look at all those issues that we were talking about. I mean, while polls aren't predictive, they do sort of tell us something about trends. So I think, you know, you have to say that going into the debate, Biden has an advantage. On the other hand, Trump is, you know, great at sort of mixing things up and creating chaos and sort of directing the terms of the debate. So in that sense, you might say he's got a bit of advantage. But I think Stephanie's absolutely right. By setting the bar so low, if Joe Biden does anything more than, you know, doesn't do anything less than come out and sort of drool in his soup, people are going to say, oh, well, that wasn't so bad. And he'll do just fine, you know, because Trump has tried to create this image that somehow he's an old doddering fool over the hill. And actually, in the last one-on-one debate with Bernie Sanders, you know, Biden held his own and did pretty well. And I think Trump made a big mistake in trying to set the bar so low for him.
Yeah, I find that so interesting. If during the primaries you had said to me, if Joe Biden is the nominee, that the thing will be that the bar will be so low for his debate performance that it won't be hard for him to hurdle it, I think that would have been very surprising. It seems like it shows a lot about what's changed over the last 6 months. Let's grab our first call. We've got Kelly on the line from Newton, New Hampshire. Kelly, go ahead.
Hi, I just want to start by saying that I've worked on many Democratic campaigns, Barack Obama's being the most recent, and have been a longtime Democratic voter just through my family lines. And I just really usually look forward to debates, but I just feel like this debate is just so different. I think that his base, basic Trump's base, will believe and follow whatever he says, that whatever Joe Biden says will be mocked or ripped on as fake news, and that it just gives his base an opportunity to be emboldened. And I think that most of I'm in my mid-30s, and most of my friends and people I speak politics with say the same thing, that it just feels like a debate is so futile at this point.
Thanks for that, Kelly. I appreciate that. It's a sad sentiment, but I appreciate you calling in and sharing it. Before I turn back to our panelists, let me grab one more call here. We've got Bettina in Beacon Hill. Bettina, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. I just wish to correct things a little bit. Say, I'm a North Slope Beacon Hiller and have been since 1941 in the same house, and I was not born
here. All right.
Now, my question my hope for tonight is that Biden, of course, will dwell on the COVID, but he also, no matter what the questions are, we'll bring up the question of taxes, because there's so much resentment among the group that support Trump. I think one of the great things that they can talk about, of course, is the lack of paying taxes compared to everybody else.
So thanks for that, Bettina. And I'll take it there to Stephanie Murray, because we can put those together, Stephanie. Is anything anyone's going to say likely to sway anyone who might watch or pay attention to the debate? What do we know about that? And is there going to be traction on this latest news about Trump's tax returns?
Well, Joe Biden gave us a hint regarding the tax returns today by releasing his. Biden, his family, they released their tax returns, as did his running mate Kamala Harris. And they did that today, which kind of sets the tone. So you can expect him, or I think we can all expect Biden to bring up the taxes because he did that. But on the topic of whether the debate's going to change anything, I think that's a great question. It feels like, you know, as much as big and important and heated as this presidential race is, it seems like things have kind of been in the same place for a while. You know, Biden's base is with Biden, Trump's base is with Trump. Those numbers haven't really moved so much. And it's close in the swing states where either of them really need to win. The thing that I'm watching out for tonight is misinformation and how fact checkers and the debate moderator handle when either of the candidates say things that aren't true. President Trump has done that with COVID numbers. And so it's a fine line, you know, correcting those things in real time so misinformation doesn't spread, and allowing the debate to kind of continue on. And the other place where that happens is online, on Twitter and Facebook. We've even seen today the story about Biden wearing an earpiece in the debate, which his campaign has denied. It's spread on Facebook like wildfire within a matter of hours.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We'd love to hear from you if you have a particular candidate you're supporting, Biden or Trump. Also love to hear from you if you are undecided and think there might be something you might hear tonight or are looking to hear tonight to help you make the decision on who to vote for in the November 2020 presidential election. Anthony, Massachusetts is known as a blue state. It's known as a liberal state. The president actually locked horns with our own Republican governor by saying he's not really a Republican. I wonder, are there issues that you think are going to resonate in this debate tonight, specifically for Massachusetts voters or New England voters?
You know, I really look at this as a national race more than anything else, Tiziana. I mean, I think the same kind of issues that are going to resonate across the country are the issues that resonate here. I mean, we were talking about taxes a moment ago. I mean, I think the idea of fairness is certainly something that resonates with all voters. I think Joe Biden has good reason to bring that up and use that against President Trump. I mean,
here's a president who talked about, you know, his strongest suit was he knew how to run a business and he knew how to make money and he knew how to do all of that. And all these revelations of the New York Times really work against that. So I think those are interests. And then you talk about the main interests that we poll again and again on, things like health care, things like access to women's health care. These are important issues to folks in Massachusetts, just as they are to people all across the country. So I really look at this as much more of a kind of national focus, I think.
Stephanie, I found myself thinking, and I wonder if you have an answer or a thought on this. If you were going to pit one of the past presidential debaters from Massachusetts, people who were known to be quite good, Dukakis, Romney, Kerry, would any of their debating styles square up well against Trump tonight? Do we have a history here of strong debaters who would be good in this moment, and any lessons there for Biden?
Oh, my goodness. That is a tough question. I'm not sure I have an answer. Anthony, you might know better than me.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'd go back
Sorry.
I mean, everything is so, there's so much peril involved in this. I mean, you could think of Mike Dukakis, who was very good at not being phased, but that got him into trouble, right? When he was asked famously on the CNN debate about how he would respond to if his wife was raped, for example. And he stayed very cool and very calm and refused to sort of get involved in the sort of energy of the moment. And that got him in trouble. And I just go back to this idea that Trump is the master of chaos. And I can't imagine who would be the person who would best do it. But I think Joe Biden would just be well advised, you know, not to get in the mud pit with him, because.
So I think we might have lost Anthony's sound again. You know, this is always the challenge when we are broadcasting remotely.
It happens sometimes. I'm on the phone.
It happens sometimes, and I think we just got some sound with Anthony with the control room there. Stephanie, let's go to the phones for a second. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Pamela, you are with us. Pamela's in Concord. What's on your mind?
I'm calling because I actually, I'm an independent, and I do support Trump, but I feel very uncomfortable because I feel like if I were to tell that to my colleagues, I could face being fired. I feel very worried about my position, and I've never felt like that before in this country.
I'm sorry that you feel that way. Stephanie, what about that?
I think it just speaks to kind of the heightened tension of the moment that we're in. You know, all of these different kind of catastrophes are happening on top of one another. The coronavirus, the economy, schools, all of these things, you know, it's a very heated political moment on either side of the aisle. And, you know, it really, like, it's palpable in the air. I think especially today, you know, this debate has been years in the making now.
Stephanie, I do want to talk about this fact-checking question. I was really interested to read an op-ed in the Boston Globe this weekend by John Keller, who was arguing that it is not the moderator's job to fact-check. I've heard other pundits in preparation for tonight say the moderator must fact-check Donald Trump. And I've heard others argue, no, Joe Biden must fact-check Donald Trump. One, how does that even work? And two, where is that responsibility? How much of that needs to get done real time?
That's a fantastic question. And I think with so many people tuning in and just, you know, kind of the speed of how this all works, some of that has to happen in real time, whether it's Joe Biden pushing back or the moderator pushing back. But, you know, something that the president often does is turn around and say that the fact-checking is fake news. And it's difficult to do that in real time. But the fact-checking that I'm most worried about is kind of what's going to happen online during and after the debate. You know, we saw during the Democratic primaries debate footage getting clipped and manipulated and changed to make things look different than they were during the debate. And so I think a lot of the onus beyond just what happens during that hour and a half time stretch is on kind of what happens online afterwards, where those moments are going to live on for days and weeks.
Anthony, do we have you?
I believe you have me. I'm really sorry about these technical issues.
It's okay. Let's laugh it off and keep going, because I've been really interested to ask you about this latest polling on New Hampshire. New Hampshire has four electoral votes on the line. They've become contested. They've become a swing state. And there's this new poll out today on Biden's lead over Trump from UMass Lowell Center on Public Opinion. It reminds us that actually 4 years ago, Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump by fewer than 3,000 votes, which is a margin of less than 0.5%. So whither New Hampshire in the larger national picture here this time?
Yeah, it's an interesting poll. I mean, it speaks to a lot of issues. Joe Biden now has an 8-point lead, if this poll is correct. And as you said, that's quite a contrast with New Hampshire 4 years ago when she won by less than 0.5%. And I just think it speaks to this fact that this has been a remarkably stable race. And if you look at this poll, this is a big difference than 4 years ago. This poll in New Hampshire of New Hampshire voters, of likely voters, shows that 1% have not made up their mind. So only 1% of voters are undecided. And that really speaks to this issue of just how stable this race has been going back months and months and months. And basically, you know, Biden has had a lead in most of these battleground states that were identified a while ago, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and so forth. New Hampshire was one of them. But with an 8-point lead, it does look like it's slipping out of reach for Donald Trump. And it's interesting that he stopped spending advertising money here. And that could be a sign that he's much more interested in playing defense in the other larger battleground states. So New Hampshire feels like it might be slipping away from Trump at this point.
Stephanie, I may have time to grab one more call, but before I do, how are you feeling about the quality and reliability of polling versus in 2016 when, clearly the polling before the election did not steer us towards what was going to happen in that election?
That's a great question. And it seems like, you know, some of the mistakes in the polling from 2016, historically the national polling was pretty close to what it ended up being with Hillary Clinton winning the popular vote. But a lot of those issues in the state level polls have been resolved. But going back to that New Hampshire point that Anthony made, I just think it's so interesting that Biden, on primary day in New Hampshire back in February, he actually left the state before the primary results came in because he knew he was going to do so poorly in that Democratic field. I think he came in fifth place. So the fact that he appears to be leading, according to that state poll that just came out in New Hampshire, leading over Trump in the state that Trump lost by the smallest margin in the entire country in 2016. You know, it's got to be something that feels personal to the Trump campaign. They've been wanting to win New Hampshire because it slipped away so closely. But, you know, just kind of the way that things have turned around for Biden there, I know a primary and a general election are much different, but, you know, it's just a very different thing than we were talking about even 6 months ago.
I want to get one more caller voice in here. We've got Sue on the line from Mashpee.
Hello.
Sue, go ahead. Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm just calling because I feel that with the difficulty between the Democrats and the Republicans, that President Trump hasn't had a really good shake. I mean, he has come up with some really good things in his 4 years. One was, when we talk about the coronavirus, it was a difficult decision to make any decisions in the beginning because it was something new. And I think that he rallied to it. He had every day, he had talking, and he sent as many supplies as he could to different places that needed them right away. It was a learning process. Fauci at one time said, we don't need masks. Another time, he thought we did. So
Sue, I'm sorry to cut you short there. I do have to take it back from you, but I'm going to use your call to a last question to Anthony Brooks, which is, how does Donald Trump fare in the media analysis afterward? And for a caller like Sue, who's saying, I want him to get a fair shake, is that going to happen?
Well, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, I appreciate the caller's point, but I mean, polls really do. If you look at public opinion at large, most Americans do believe that Donald Trump could have done more in terms of a better job in terms of handling this pandemic. And if you compare them to the way other countries, I mean, I'm thinking of the leader of Italy, for example, where there was a very concrete and coherent plan to lock the country down and slow things down. In fairness to the caller, the president created a lot of confusion about the path that Americans should take. And he was recommending to governors that they open up while the open up businesses while numbers were still going up, for example. There was a lot of confusion about masks, but a lot of that confusion came from the president himself. And by the way, I went to a Trump rally just a few weeks ago in New Hampshire. Nobody was wearing masks, in spite of the fact that New Hampshire state law required masks. So it's very difficult for me to square what has actually happened with what the caller just expressed there. But I'll leave it at that.
All right. That's WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Anthony, thanks very much.
Sure. My pleasure.
And Stephanie Murray, author of the Politico Massachusetts Playbook and co-host of the Horse Race podcast. Stephanie, thanks to you, too.
Thank you. So nice speaking with you.